Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Good morning, East Haven. Our text this morning comes from the book of Psalms. Psalm 18, a psalm of David. I love y'all, and you've demonstrated why you're so lovable. Not just today, but ever since the Lord crossed our path back in 2010. When I was here last on July 7, I had been experiencing nerve issue, shoulder pain, arm weakness, grip issue, my career as a pickpocket ending. Voice issues. Not like I sound now, but I knew my voice was not normal. Eventually, this year in January, after two visits with qualified neurologists, we heard the diagnosis. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. I'm not even a Yankees fan. Hard to accept, especially for Marianne and Anne-Marie and Michael. We had to tell them over the phone, our son, JP, with us. Y'all, I'm at peace. God is good. I've lived a good life. He owes me nothing. I count my blessings. No pain, just weakness, and a slow voice. If I had a southern drawl, no one would think anything unusual about me. I have my legs. Thank God. I won't jump off the stage, but I could. I have one leg firmly planted in the medical community. How could I not? My dad, a retired cardiologist. Our son, JP, third year medical at UMMC. I trust my doctors. I'm not in denial. I have it. This leg firmly planted in the faith community. Wonderful healthcare professionals like my dad. Didn't know it all. Couldn't save everyone. But our God can. He can. He cares. I'm praying for healing. Thank you for praying for me and my family. Y'all, I'm hopeful. I don't have time to tell you how I'm hopeful and why. God communicates to me. have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. I could have named just like you someone whom God raised from the dead. Lazarus. I, like you, could name people who God cured of stage 4 cancer. And before January 22nd, I didn't know anyone whom God cured of ALS. I do now. Tom Purnell. I've known Tom for years. Didn't know he had ALS. Had it. In his small country church where I have preached in western Hinds County, Tom Purnell. He memorized Lou Gehrig's farewell at Yankee Stadium and told his church, bye. They decided we're praying when he went back to his doctors. You don't have ALS anymore. Tom asked, was I misdiagnosed? No, you had it. We can't explain this. Y'all can. And 5 weeks ago, I hugged Tom in church. He had that diagnosis 20 years ago. I'm praying. Keep praying, church. God hears our prayers. I'm in the valley. I don't want to be here. His will for me. His assignment for me. I prefer the view of God from the mountaintop. But y'all know as well as I, the view of God in the valley is remarkable too. I have seen his hand. I have learned more than I ever could on the mountaintop. And I've seen blessing after blessing, his coming through for me. Every day I pray, God, I need help. God, I need hope. And he responds in miraculous, remarkable ways. I'll give you one example, and then I better start the sermon, or we'll be here through dinner. One morning, I'm in the shower. Y'all, I'm weird. I'm talking to God in the shower. And I said, God, I need hope. I really want a prayer texted by my dear friend, Jerry Hazelwood. Jerry, from time to time, I never know when, texts an amazing friend. God, I would love one of them. I got dressed, went to the kitchen table, and looked on my phone. Test. Jerry, isn't God good? The world would say, coincidence. I say no. I have too much evidence to know what my God does. In John 9, the disciples and Jesus met a man born blind. The disciples asked, who sinned, the man or his parents? I'm happy to read our Lord Jesus' response. Not him, not his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed. Church, I'm a canvas. You are too. And I want God's works to be displayed in me. And all glory go to him. On September 11th, 1993, my wife gave birth to our firstborn, a 7-pound, 2-ounce girl. 21 hours and 31 minutes of pain, also known as labor, preceded joy. 31 years and counting, Emory. For Paul Brand and Philip Yancey, the year 1993 was not a beginning, but a finish line. They co-authored a book titled Pain, The Gift Nobody Wants. Brand, a renowned orthopedic surgeon, had treated the problems of painlessness worldwide. In India, where I was born, he discovered that leprosy destroys nerve endings. Two consequences: short-term wear and tear unawares, long-term disfigurement. Lepers damage themselves by such simple actions as gripping a splintered wraith or wearing tight shoes. Pressure sores form, infection sets in, and no pain signals alert them to tend to the wounded area. At Carvel, Louisiana, Dr. Brand examined 4-year-old Tanya. Dark eyes, curly hair, impish smile. Her swollen left ankle rotated freely, fully dislocated, but she never flinched. Ulcers covered the soles of her feet. Infected, oozing, bone exposed, but she never winced. Tanya had been born with a rare genetic defect, congenital indifference to pain. Paul Brand, understandably, testified, "I regard pain as one of the most remarkable design features of the human body. And if I could choose one gift for my leprosy patients, it would be the gift of pain. I do not desire and cannot even imagine a life without pain. Thank God for pain. Before Aunt Marie slept through the night, Marianne and I shared the nighttime duties. Aunt Marie knew how to awaken us. Man, she had lungs. We, on the other hand, struggled in the wee hours of the morning to see clearly, to walk straight, and to think at all. I have not forgotten juggling baby and bottle, trudging from the crib to the couch. On one night, stubbing at least 3 toes, full force because I clipped the runner on the rocking chair. Wide awake after a rush of pain. What a powerful attention getter. And I didn't drop the baby or the bottle. On September 11, 2001, images of smoldering buildings, hijacked planes, and a remote crash site in Pennsylvania seized the attention of the nation. Al-Qaeda, like a virus, penetrated our borders and pierced our hearts. No medication could deaden that pain. Years ago, Elihu, from my favorite book, y'all know, Job, informed Job. I know, you're waiting at Psalm 18. I'm there in a moment. Elihu informed Job, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathes bread and his soul favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones, which were not seen, dig up. Then his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to those who bring them. Behold, God does all these oftentimes with men, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. More recently, C.S. Lewis wrote, God whispers in our pleasure, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. What does God say? Church, you already know. You're no stranger to pain. What does God say? Answer, you need me. Simple as that. I'm reminded every day with my condition. I'm needing. I am as desperate for God now as I was when I was lost. And I'm desperate for Him. And I'm worse than desperate without Him. Psalm 18, a Psalm of David, the first 6 verses. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me, and the torment of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. The thirsty think drink. The hungry hanker for food. The lonely long for relationship. The weary want a pillow and bed. In this psalm, a distressed David desired security. Oh, the word he used in Hebrew, verse 1, translated strength, also appears in verse 32 and 39. Comparable, and don't miss it, in verse 2. All the metaphors comparable to a rock, verse 2, and verse 31, and verse 46. A fortress, verse 2. A refuge, verse 2. A shield, verse 2, as well as verse 30 and verse 35. A horn, verse 2. And a stronghold, verse 2. God perfectly fit that profile, more sturdy than the heavens that bend, more steady than the mountains that tremble and shake, more stable than the earth that shakes and quakes. Look at verse 7, 8, and 9. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with a darkness under his feet. Y'all, distress, what David had experienced, or anguish, is also a kind of pain. Maybe someone this morning is really burdened by anguish, distress. God knows what you're experiencing, what you're suffering. Its cause can be internal or external. For David, external. A slew of enemies had harassed him. Y'all, I titled Psalm 18, Odds Against Me, God for Me. Odds against me, God for me. Medically speaking, the odds are against me. Very little that the medical community can do. But God is for me. The same is true for you. Look at two comparisons, and then I'm landing the plane. Notice what David says, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And then notice in verse 25 what he says about his enemies. In verse 2, the Lord is my fortress. Verse 45, foreigners fade away and come trembling out of what? Their fortresses. One more comparison. In verse 6, David, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Now compare that to verse 41. What about his enemies? They cried for help, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Odds against me, God for me. As a professor, I'm assigning homework to you. For the sake of time, read the rest of this psalm. At some point this week, it'll bless you. In conclusion, Luther, Burgess, Bridges obeyed God's call to preach. He became a Methodist pastor and a freshman at Asbury College. Still there in Wilmore, Kentucky. He was 17. 9 years later, Bridges, his wife, and their three sons traveled to Harrodsburg, Kentucky, 32 miles southwest of Lexington. He conducted a revival while they stayed at the home of his father-in-law. It should have been a wonderful visit. Fire, however, destroyed the home. Bridges survived. His wife and children did not. Faith sorely tested, outlasting tremendous grief. God, ever faithful, comforting the 26-year-old widower. Healing took place. Bridges eventually testified. And y'all, I believe you sung his testimony. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken string, stirred the slumbering chords again. Though sometimes he leaves the waters deep, trials may fall along the way. Though the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints on the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And as long as this older, aging, weakening body can utter a song, I'll sing, sweet Jesus, he's for you, church. Look up to him and take the next step. He loves you. Let's pray. Lord, we wish for a life of no pain. Eventually, that's heaven, and we look forward to our eternal home. Here, however, we know pain is a part of life. It reminds us how helpless we often are and how great a help you are. How good you are. How you take care of us. And how, yes, oftentimes you cure the pain. Miracle, healing, provision, your love, mercy, and grace. We thank him that you cured the ultimate pain, our sin problem, through Jesus. Thank you for the miracle of salvation, reminding us how you love us, how you can do all things. There's nothing we ever face that's too big for you, that you cannot handle. Lord, I lift up East Haven to you, every person here, whatever their situation. Is there someone here hurting, facing the unknown, struggling with a circumstance, financial, relational, health? I pray for them. Remind them, though the odds might be against them, you're for them. Thank you for hearing our cry, being here, your Holy Spirit moving. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. While Robin leaves, I'm going to ask Kenny to stand up here. Do you know Jesus? Amen. If you don't, you're in the right place. Most important decision you can ever make. Best decision I ever made. Second, marrying Marianne. Best decision, accepting Jesus. He's here. He loves you. If you need prayer, wonderful folks are here to pray with him. If you need a church home, I can't think of a better place to be a part. Whatever your decision, you do as God leads. Thank you for your patience as I kept talking. Love y'all.